Welcome to the Sales Acceleration Podcast, where B2B leaders talk about real problems and real solutions across the areas of demand generation, sales, and sales operations. I'm your host, Gabe Larson. Let's get at it.
Welcome, everybody, to the Sales Acceleration Podcast. Boy, did I have a cool week. I just got back from London visiting the InsideSales.com UK-based office out in Reading. Did multiple things. Went and visited a couple clients, had some good discussions, met our PR firm, blah, blah, blah. But did a really cool master class somewhere in London. Somewhere, I can't remember where. Talked all things sales acceleration, had a group of maybe 50, 60-ish sales and marketing leaders. Really enjoyed it, really engaging group. And I know some of them said they would be tuning in, so welcome to any new subscribers. Had a great time, and please, if you haven't already, check out our Sales Acceleration Facebook group and keep the conversation going. Now, with that, today's podcast is coming from Ken Krogh, founder and president of InsideSales.com, and he's going to be talking about the science of sales transformation. Now, organizations, doesn't matter if you're in a turnaround, a startup, or an acceleration, as far as your inside or remote sales team, you have to have a foundation of change. You've got to be change ready. And so Ken is going to talk about laying that foundation so that you can have a successful sales effort, so you can have a successful sales acceleration project. And those consist really of five key areas. Rather than steal his thunder, I will introduce you now to Mr. Ken Krogh, a mentor of mine, but also, again, founder and co-president of InsideSales.com. Ken, over to you.
We're talking a lot about sales transformation, and it really comes down to change management. And there's lots of words for change. And we found that if you call it sales transformation, you can charge a lot more money for it. So we're starting with that right off the bat. We're all in sales. I wanted to just take a minute and talk about a phenomenon that's happened quite often in the early days and even again recently. When I go out to meet with clients, this has been a massive shift. You know, with our name Inside Sales, there's a lot of movement away from more traditional sales models to the high velocity model, to the account based selling model. And the funny thing is, when I go out, a lot of folks, leaders who are trying to make this transformation, they know they need to, but it's still really challenging. And so what we've learned to do is to come out there with research, with best practices. And like Matt Dixon said, my friend who I invited out here to talk about the Challenger sale, you know, it's hard to really realize that, almost like we're forming a new kind of person called a challenger executive. They have to be willing to challenge that status quo. And research and best practices are usually the best way to do that. Well, so what we'll do is we'll go in. We always start with the top. We start with the leaders. And we sit them down and say, look, before we meet with your teams, we want to meet with you. Because we help to help you see. And we don't want to blindside you with some of the things that we're going to be teaching and talking about. And what I notice is right at first when we do this, you know, they got their arms folded and they're sitting back. And they're almost saying, you know, I dare you to teach us something. And I remember this happened up at Datto at VMware at Sprint. And the same phenomenon began recurring that I realized, boy, I need to take note of this. And I noticed that by about, you know, 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning, their arms were unfolded. They were leaning forward. They had their pens out. They were starting to take notes. And then a little bit later, I started seeing, you know, nodding heads. And then about lunchtime, I saw worried looks. And they'd come up to me. And I especially remember in Boston, a wonderful sales executive there, very, very well known. You probably know who he is. And he pulls me aside and says, Ken, we really need to talk. And I'm like, ah, boy, we must have forgot something. We've had a problem here. And on the next break, he pulls me aside and he said, I'm in trouble. He said, I don't know anything you guys are talking about. This is all brand new to me. And I said, wow. I said, you know, that in itself is very inspiring that you see that and that you realize that. He said, I'm in. I want to learn, but I don't want to look dumb in front of my guys. I got to know. And that phenomenon was so interesting. You know, and then about a year and a half ago, I went through a massive head-on collision, a car accident, 70 miles an hour, and took me out of the game for a while. And when you leave the game at internet speeds and you try and come back, I experienced the same thing. I'm in the same boat. I'm having to work on my own sales transformation. And as we work with these different engagements, we found there's about three main kinds. And take a moment and think, where am I in these three? The first is a startup. Now, those are nice because you get a blank slate to begin with. The second is an acceleration. You're doing pretty good, but you want to improve. But over half of them, nearly 60%, are called a turnaround. And that's where you have to engage change. You have to transform what you've been doing to what you will be doing. And you don't want to get locked in that insanity loop that happens by trying to do the same things over and over again. So we're going to jump in. We've done this now. I've probably been on 70 engagements, mostly in the early days, some again recently. And I'll be bringing up Gabe here, our director of Inside Sales Labs. He's been on over 210. As Kent Prococha mentioned from Aptus in the last session, Gabe helped lead him through the process. Now we've got a whole division called Momentum that has taken us to a whole new level for the upper end enterprise. But what we want to do today is open up the same steps to our whole base, to everybody that we're trying to help. So we'll go fast, but I wanted you to walk through the top five here. So the first is executive sponsorship. And that's where we always start. In sales, you always start with authority, with the pathway to power. And if you don't have the leader on board with you, the rest doesn't seem to happen. Now, I'm talking to all of you because you are the leaders in this process. And this is where we really begin. Now, recent research study done by ProSci, one of the leaders in change management, and this is a little scary, and I can relate to this. Maybe you can, too. They surveyed top executives involved in executive sponsorship projects, and 58% admitted they didn't really know their roles. They didn't know what they were being asked to do to be effective in this change management transformation model. And so we jumped in, and with their help, we looked at what are the three key steps to be active and visible as an executive sponsor. First and foremost, you need to build a coalition. These are in rank order. You got to build a coalition of the colleagues in your business, the stakeholders that you need. They've got to be at the round table with you. Then you got to learn to communicate and promote all the time. The water has to get to the end of the row when you guys make decisions. And then you got to participate visibly throughout. This is probably the biggest one in our minds. What that means is to delegate is to die. If you give up the number one seat in this change transformation model, it's not going to happen. As soon as you leave, or as soon as you say, boom, I've signed the papers, they're good, I'm out of here, it starts to decay. And it's pretty hard to recover. That's leadership. Now, the second is management, and it's the operational process we call governance. And what that means is on a monthly and a weekly model, you pull your stakeholders together in a meeting. Now, we just launched a new research study, and you're the first to see some of the results. It's not even formally out. The one we just announced yesterday was out about procrastination of closing, high-pressure closing at the end of the month. But this one's brand new. It's the top challenges of sales executives. And so what we did is we asked three main questions. We had help from Barry Traylor of CSO Insights. And we said, who do you need at that round table? Who's the most helpful and who's the least helpful of all the different departments in the company that are supposed to be here to help you drive the sales number? And interestingly enough, I'm not surprised actually with this one, by far the leader was marketing. If you don't have a strong relationship in this transformation process with marketing, it's not going to happen. They were both the most needed and the most helpful. And we're going to do a new study soon to say, but are you having those weekly meetings and doing a brief debrief with them? Now, the next one is a little bit difficult to grasp at first, because what we did is we compared the most needed to the most helpful. We said, what are the gaps? Okay. And the one with the biggest gap, which means you need to work on this, is your relationship with HR. This was the most significant gap of the stakeholders that are in charge of making sure you succeed with your recruiting, your onboarding, your training. So we can't put this on HR. We have to put it back on us as sales leaders to build that bridge and make sure that that really happens. Now, the third one, we may laugh a little bit, but this one is actually significant. This one was the least helpful of the departments in helping you to do your job. It was legal. And, you know, I collect lawyer jokes, but I won't tell any right now. We don't have enough time. But seriously, you have to be the one to help build this bridge and work through the process to streamline this model. Internally at our company, we've done a great job of really working closely, but this has had its real challenges over time. So those are the big three. We'll have the whole study available soon. If you're interested, we can make sure you get a copy of it. Now, the next piece is one of my favorites. I'm a Naval Academy guy. Now, I didn't graduate like Dean did. I went in the entrepreneurial world right after that. But I wanted to fly one of these things. And there's an interesting thing. We sell the American manufactured jets all over the world. But for some reason, the statistics of how those are performing seems to be always best with the American pilots. And it's not about the tech. It's about something we do that's quite interesting. I wanted to share that with you. We have what we call the brief debrief process. We've simplified it. It comes from this book, Flawless Execution, by James Murphy, who's a former fighter pilot. And what they do is so powerful. Now, on the flight suits of our pilots, they have patches. And they can rip off their name, rip off their rank. And before they go on any mission, they have their plan. They walk in and they rip off the name and the rank. They slam it down on a table in a briefing room, which means symbolically that if you're a general or a lieutenant or a sergeant, we're the same right now. Because we've got a $100 million plane that could go down if we screw up. So the briefing is clear. Everyone's blunt and to the point, and they talk about what's good, what's bad, how we're going to improve, how we're going to do a better job. Then they run the mission, and right afterwards, they come right back to that debriefing room, and they do the same thing. They rip off the patches, they slam them down, and they say, okay, what went well? What went poorly? How can we improve? And they take notes, and that becomes the document for the next briefing before the next mission. You see how that loop just continually iterates and make things better. If you want to really learn how to improve your ability to govern and improve your organization, it's right here in that book. So next, we've talked about leadership, management. Now, how do we get out to the front lines? We call it full engagement. And this is where the rubber really meets the road. There's a lot going on here. Gabe, with some of his background at Gallup, they have probably the best study in the world on the 12 questions of engagement to build what we call a culture of engagement. Now, I'm just going to pull out and really make it simple right now. But in the same research that we just did, the top challenges, execs said culture is a top challenge. 23.9% said culture, a culture of performance, of accountability. And I'm a big fan of this gentleman right here, Clayton Christensen, one of the top management consultants in the world, top Harvard professor, ranked number 11. And but he was having some real, ranked number one in 2011 for top management consultant in the world. He was having some struggles in his teaching. And all of a sudden, he was starting to get some of the worst scores from his students. And he had done pretty well for a long time, and it really bothered him. And so he would meet with his students. They'd give him feedback. He'd try it. Nothing changed. He brought in his colleagues to observe his classroom, and they'd give him feedback, and nothing changed. Well, he was on a flight to Minneapolis, and he tells this story. And he was seated next to an elder from the Lakota Indian tribe. And things were sort of peaceful and calm. And the elder turns to him and said, what do you do? He said, well, I teach at Harvard. Is that fun? And he had never been asked that. But he said, yeah, it sort of is. Except recently I'm having some real struggles in my teaching. And he asked, well, tell me about it. He told him about it. And he paused for a minute. He stopped. He said, Your students don't know you love them. You need to love them. And he thought of all the feedback he'd ever been given teaching at Harvard. That had never been on the list, not even once. But he went back, and just before his next class, he took a moment with meditation and prayer. And he says, you know, help my students know I love them, and that I love what I do, and I love what I teach, and that my passion just comes out. And you know what? Everything turned around almost immediately. Students came up to us, what happened? And he said, it's love. It's the power of love. And so I've taught this many times, and this is probably the thing that comes back to me the most as I'm speaking. People come up to me years later and say, you remember that story? Do you remember that culture discussion on the four types of motives? And there are four levels of culture. There's love, there's duty, there's fear, and there's hate. All four work. All four are effective, but they have side effects. And you have to ask yourself, okay, what's the culture that I'm building? Now, you don't have to love everything you do, but you have to love something. You have to love your people. You know, people don't leave the company. They leave a manager. They leave a leader. And so I would highly commend, you can boil all the culture down into that right there. Okay, we're going to speed up now. Metrics. This is, you have to start here. When you begin the whole process, 18.5% said metrics are key to a top challenge. And my favorite little anecdote is right here. This is Body for Life, Bill Phillips. The largest weight loss and weightlifting competition in the history of the world. And it was really simple what he did. He just had everybody take a picture before they began, holding up a USA Today with the date that they began, and then a picture 12 weeks later of where they ended. In other words, the baseline and the weigh-in along the way. You got to do the same thing. You got to show where you started and then show the differential so that you can prove that you've added value to your equation and had performance increases. That's the metrics, and there's a lot more to it than that. But before I go any further, I'd like to bring Gabe Larson up here, our director of Inside Sales Labs. He's our expert in the world of process. Welcome Gabe up real quick, and we'll Thank turn you. Him loose.
So I've been working with Ken for 3 years, mentor, coach. Process is just my thing. I've mapped over 200 processes. It's become a little bit of an addiction. But I got to ask you, after having visited hundreds of clients and I've mapped processes at VMware and a bunch of different companies, on all these engagements, guess how many companies actually had a full sales process, went out and visited them? What do you think?
A small handful, probably.
Zero. Yeah. It was zero. Now, process becomes a fundamental part of sales transformation. I love this. We got Barry Traylor in the back. This has come from CSO Insights. I believe it's zero. He did research on it, but they say 70% of companies do not have a dynamic sales process, something that's adaptive, that's used, that's pursued, that's followed. Again, I feel like it might be a little bit less than that, but if you're serious about this concept, then you've got to follow the concept of mapping your process. If you can't see it, you can't change it. You've got to get a current state, and then you've got to get to a future state. Now, what you see on this is different levers you can pull, different things you can test and optimize to get to that level that you want to be to actually be successful.
You know, we just did this internally once again. It filled up a 25-foot whiteboard in our big meeting rooms, and we had our new business development leader came from HubSpot, and he said, you know, this is a new thing. This is powerful. This helps me see where we've been, where we're going. And I was amazed how powerful this has become in our organization and in yours if you put it to work, but it's hard.
So, and to summarize, back to the five principles.
Well, you know, remember number one, executive sponsorship. It starts with leadership. And number two is governance. That's the management of the operations. Number three is full engagement. You got to build that culture of engagement. We recommend you aim for having passion and love about what you do and what your team does. Number four, you got to start with the metrics. Have a baseline before you begin, and then weigh-ins along the way to see how well you're performing. And then lastly, we bring it home with process. You map out your current state, you go to your future state, and then you can visualize the change that you're going to see. This is all coming out in a book by the same name, Dave and I, The Science of Sales Transformation. You'll see it here soon. Did we do okay today? Thanks, everybody. Thanks to have you here. We've been asked for slides, and if you'd like, we can send those out to you. Okay, we'll do that. Thanks again.